We are about to speak with David Wood of Answering Muslims. And David, welcome to Freedom Radio.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
After your experience in the can, as they say.
They gave me a turkey sandwich, so it was all right.
That's all right. I'm sure it wasn't a turkey club. Can you tell folks in our audience a little bit about your group of friends and what you do?
My best friend in college was a Muslim named Nabil Qureshi, and we ended up talking about things. And after college, Nabil became a Christian and started getting death threats almost immediately. And so my only real interest in Islam back then was my best friend was a Muslim, so we'd talk about things and we'd argue. And but then after he became a Christian, and people started kind of coming after him, I thought I had no interest in Islam after that. And when I saw people coming after my buddy, it was kind of hey leave him alone. So we ended up kind of debating Muslims and having public dialogues and debates and things like that. And so never really stopped engaging with Muslims after that.
And your recent experience, for those who haven't heard, because it really hasn't been put out there in the media like it should be, and that is you recently were arrested in Dearborn, Michigan. You and two other gentlemen and a lady were arrested for sharing the gospel.
Yes, pretty much. And I'll go ahead and tell you that last year we went to the Arab Festival, and Nabil walked up to a booth, a Muslim booth that had a big sign up that said, "Ask questions, we've got answers." Nabil walked up and asked them a question about Surah 929 of the Quran, which calls for Muslims to fight and subjugate unbelievers. And so he wanted to ask them a question about this, and we basically wanted to know what was the opinion of the Muslims at the booth. What did they think? Did they think it was appropriate to subjugate unbelievers? And we got our answer, but in a different way. Security, who were Muslims, started slapping us around. And when I say they were Muslims, I don't mean they were nice Muslims.
Slapping you around?
They were slapping our cameras. They kicked Nabil in his legs. They were pushing Nabil, and we had a friend there who's a woman named Mary Jo Sharp, and she was holding a camera, and they grabbed her a couple of times.
Is assault by law.
Yes, they roughed us up. They roughed us up a little bit. We were fine. We're big boys. The only thing that really upset me was that they put their hands on Mary Jo, who had nothing to do with any of this. And so they did that. And by the way, that the people they had on security there, they actually had radical terror-supporting Muslims on security at a public festival. And one of them had Hezbollah tattooed down his arm. And this is the guy they're putting on security in charge of keeping the peace there. So it wasn't a surprise that they looked for any chance they had to rough up some Christians. And things like this were happening the entire festival. We went there on Sunday, and we've been hearing from Christians who were there on Friday and Saturday that security was just going straight thug on people. And the difference was we decided, well, if we go in there, we're going to bring cameras with us, and we're going to catch it on film. So we did catch it on film. We put it on YouTube, and it's gotten close to 2 million hits. And so that's what happened last year, and it was a pretty big embarrassment for the festival and for the city of Dearborn. By the way, if your listeners aren't familiar with the city of Dearborn, Dearborn has the highest percentage of Muslims in the country. Over 30% of the citizens of Dearborn are Muslims. So it gives you a good idea of what to expect as Muslim populations rise in the West. What can we expect? Well, just look at Dearborn and you'll see. So that's what happened last year. This year, they were waiting for us. We had announced that we're going to come back, sort of make sure that everything's okay, make sure they respect people's rights this year. And if anyone wants to have a dialogue on Christianity, on Islam, we're there for that. So we went in there, and it was very interesting. They seemed to want to surround Nabil. So Nabil's a former Muslim. By the way, two of the people with us were former Muslims. So Nabil's a former Muslim, and then our little 18-year-old Afghani friend named Nagin, she's a former Muslim. And so we're at the festival, and they seem to want to talk to Nabil. So I just kind of stepped back and held a camera, and there were two of the rest of us there. But Nabil was actually the only one who was doing any talking when sort of he was surrounded by, I'd say, 15 to 20 Muslims. And at first, police seemed like...
This is this year.
And at first, it seemed like police knew what they were doing. They were kind of making sure that no one jumped on the beal because people were, you know, yelling some things and some threats here and there. And so they just made sure no one jumped on the beal at first. And so we thought that the police were going to do a very good job. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they slapped handcuffs on me, grabbed my camera, and they put handcuffs on all four of us, arrested us, charged us with breach of peace. And the first one they arrested was little 18-year-old Nagin. And when they told her, give me your camera, she didn't hand it to them because we had told her, police have no right to take your camera, which they don't. Legally, they have no right to take your to walk up to you and seize your property. So they walked up to her and said, give us your camera, and she didn't. And so they also charged her with failure to obey a police order. And so they took us all to jail, put us in jail cells, and some friends came over and bailed us out the next morning.
Well, going back to last year, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The people that assaulted you were not arrested.
No, they weren't.
Now, there was an incident in Westchester, Pennsylvania, where some patriots go to demonstrate to support the troops every Saturday. And at that event, some leftists went up and slapped a photographer, slapped away her camera, and that person was charged. And obviously there's a different set of standards, but getting back to this year and to what just happened, I'm thinking, of course, that the police just thought it would be easier to get rid of you than it would be to stop.
Yeah. And it was,
they didn't want to riot.
Yeah, you have sort of two things at work there. One, they don't want to side with the Christians against the Muslims. You do that, you'd have all kinds of problems in Dearborn if you start siding with Christians over Muslims. Then the entire Muslim population is going to be upset with you. But second, you also had the Muslims were loving it. When they put handcuffs on us and started hauling us away, even though the Muslims were in that crowd, they knew what was happening. They knew that Nabil was not yelling at them. He was not insulting them. He was not threatening them. They were doing all of that to him, but he was standing there peacefully trying to have a dialogue. The rest of us were just standing there. When they put handcuffs on us, the crowd, the Muslim crowd, burst into cheers. They started cheering. There were even some Allahu Akbars that the police were doing their will and arresting Christians standing on a public street for holding, for discussing their views. And it's interesting, while Muslims are yelling and cheering, one Christian who was sort of upset at watching all this yells. We had seen him once. He came up to us in the middle of that discussion and said hi. But other than that, we didn't know him. He yelled when the police were hauling us off. He yells, "Jesus is Lord." So you have Muslims as a group yelling, shouting "Allahu Akbar." One Christian yells, "Jesus is Lord," and a police officer walked over to him and told him to be quiet. And it's just very, very interesting situation there in Dearborn.
Interesting is the understatement of the century.
Yeah.
It was when I was doing my homework for the show, I saw on YouTube near your post, there are videos put up by Muslims that seem to be from the Dearborn area, but at least they were at the event, or they say they were at the event. And they are saying, you're lying because you were not arrested. The big lie is, that you were not arrested preaching the gospel. You were arrested for just disturbing the peace. And this just shows what big liar you are.
Yeah, well, that's what we've never denied that we were arrested on charges of disturbing the peace. But what we did that was disturbing the peace was Nabil was standing there having a conversation with Muslims. The rest of us were standing there holding cameras. Other than that, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything else. So when we say we were arrested for preaching the gospel, we don't mean that the police officers wrote down on our charge preaching the gospel.
Of course not. Americans get that.
Yeah. And everyone gets that. And really, I mean, almost every comment coming from the Muslim side is nothing but deception. I've read that we were running around harassing children. That's nonsense. I've read that we surrounded someone and were harassing him and intimidating. That's nonsense. And based on what happened last year, we decided we were not going to stop recording the entire time we're there so that if anyone lied about us, we'd have it on tape, because that happened last year. They tried to say that we were distributing information when distributing information wasn't allowed, but we had it on tape that we weren't. So that's the only thing that exonerated us, and it proved that even festival security was trying to lie about people. So this year, we made it a point to record the entire time, not to have 1 second where we didn't have someone recording what we were doing. And so we have clear, decisive proof of every second of our activity there. And yet when we told this to the police, we say, look, whatever you're saying we did, we have cameras right here. They took our cameras illegally. And despite the fact that they've been ordered under law to give those back, they refuse. The Dearborn Police Department has these things under lock and key, refuses to give back our cameras, refuses to give us the footage, even though they know, they have to know by now, that footage is going to be very embarrassing for them, because now, what do you say? We're saying these people were disturbing the peace, and all you're going to see on these tapes is Nabil standing in the middle of a crowd of Muslims who are threatening him, and then we get locked up.
Well, clearly there must be more history of the police giving special treatment to Muslims.
This can't be the first time.
No, we've gotten
tons of emails from people in Dearborn. They don't want their names out there, but we've gotten lots of reports from people saying, "Hey, my son was beaten up by a gang of Muslims, and I reported them, and the police said they're not going to do anything about it." One man said that when he was a little bit younger, some Muslims actually went up into his house and beat up his dad, and they reported to the police, and the police said they're not going to do anything about it. And you just have this whole situation where police are terrified of standing with anyone against any Muslims, because it'll upset the Muslim community, and they don't want to upset the Muslim community, and so everyone else is sort of getting tossed under the bus by the Dearborn Police Department.
Now, I understand that the Thomas More Law Center is representing the four of you, and how is that going? I don't want you to tell us anything that will obviously hurt.
No. Our lawyers have told us we can talk as long as we're stating the facts, which we are. These are all facts that are going to come out in the trial. They're all facts that are on the tapes if we ever get them back. But yes, they heard what happened. Someone else contacted them, and I got a phone call from the Thomas More Law Center saying they'd heard what happened and they wanted to talk to us. And when we talked about all the things that happened, they said, I mean, there are so many rights violations. You can't just lock people up because other people are getting upset. You can't lock up a couple of Christians because Muslims are getting angry and threatening them. If you're going to lock up anyone, you lock up the people who are threatening. So you can't just lock us up at random. You can't lock us up for preaching the gospel. You can't take our cameras. We're using them for a journalistic purpose. You can't keep the footage away when we have a right to prepare our defense, and yet they won't give us the footage, even though we say it totally exonerates us. So it's like violation after violation after violation, and they just don't care what rights we have as Christians under the Constitution.
I'm hoping that the Thomas More Law Center, now that they have this opening, for lack of a better term, will begin to represent others in cases such as you brought up as examples, where the police department and or the district attorneys are not stepping up to do their job when it is a Muslim who might be a defendant.
Yeah, and it seems like they are doing that. They have another case going on in Dearborn, where Dearborn refused to allow Christians to distribute any pamphlets or books outside or inside of the festival. We'd heard that it was inside the festival, and so we got arrested on Friday. And on Sunday, a couple of us went back to the festival to stand outside the festival. So we're standing outside the festival on a public street, and we started handing out copies of the Gospel of John in English and Arabic. And within three minutes, the three people who were standing there handing them out were surrounded by eight police officers. And, you know, you just wonder how scary are these three Christians, these three young Christians handing out copies of the Gospel of John, that you have to surround them with eight police officers who really have nothing better to do than to go and try and intimidate Christians. And the interesting thing is, we have video footage on those video cameras, if they ever decide to give them back. We have on those videos, we would point at a Christian handing something out, and he would immediately be stopped by security or police. And then you'd film right beside there, right 10 feet away, and there'd be a Muslim distributing stuff left and right, and no one would stop him. It's wild stuff.
It truly is. It's really hard for us to absorb. But we see it. It's great that there's video. There's, in spite of the fact that Mr. Wood, we were speaking with David Wood of AnsweringMuslims.com, and it's interesting that if you could tell our audience that apparently our president is indulging in a little job creation, creating programs for the police chief of Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah, the Dearborn police chief is Ronald Haddad, who's an Arab background. I don't know if he's a Muslim or if he's just really dedicated to serving Muslims. But yes, he was recently appointed to Homeland Security's advisory committee. So this is a guy, and I'll say this, and he's not going to challenge me because I can prove after two years of being in Dearborn under his leadership with the police department, I can say this is a guy who is doing everything in his power to persecute and oppress Christians in his area, and to let Muslims do basically whatever they want, and to establish Sharia law, not complete Sharia law where people are going around and have to wear veils, but under Sharia. Muslims cannot leave Islam. Christians cannot preach to Muslims. You cannot criticize Islam or the Quran or Muhammad in any way. All of that is a death penalty. So it's not a full-fledged Sharia law, but he's making sure that Christians can't preach the gospel, that no one can criticize Islam, and he'll actually have you locked up for trying to do those things and say you're disturbing the peace. So he's actually enforcing a limited Sharia in his area, and doesn't care what people's constitutional rights are. He'll trample all
doesn't
over them.
Doesn't seem to.
Yeah, then on top of all
there's
this,
a civil rights lawsuit here, is there not?
Yes. Oh, yes, no question. We're going forward with that. But the idea is for the current administration, they think this is the sort of guy you want on Homeland Security advising you on how to deal with very...
I don't know if doing my research, if I got it correctly, but it seemed as if he had already been invited to be on in that federal board. Then the Arab festival, Muslim festival, happened in the interim, and it was sort of like him cementing, it seemed to me, his position. In other words, he might have felt threatened in being approved for that position had he not handled this, in quotes, correctly, unquote.
Yeah, well, he's certainly getting plenty of attention. They're getting tons of complaints. I have this sort of second hand from someone who knows someone at the police department, but I hear they had over 400 complaints on Monday alone, and that was before the videos sort of went widespread. So they're getting a ton of complaints about how this guy's treating Christians. Christians actually from the area have been contacting me saying they want to have a demonstration on our court date here on our first court date on the 12th. So it should be interesting on how Haddad treats all of this.
And so when the people of New York, Brooklyn, Long Island, the people of Tennessee that are looking forward to the creation of mosques in their neighborhood and the call to prayer being broadcasted over loudspeakers 5 times a day, when the Muslim community tells us that it's all about outreach and understanding and promoting, how confident can we be in that kind of discussion?
Well, the problem is that you can't really tell the difference. There are different kinds of Muslims, but you just can't really tell the difference because some Muslims have been westernized in their values. And some of them really believe that Islam is peaceful, that Islam can interact peacefully with other religions, that Islam can thrive in a democratic society and not establish Sharia. Some Muslims have been westernized, and they really believe that. But devout Muslims who haven't been westernized, and they do want to establish Sharia law, and they do want to take over and conquer and subjugate other groups, they're allowed to practice taqiyya. They're allowed to deceive people and to pretend that Islam is peaceful. So the thing is, if a Muslim comes up to you and says, no, I'm not here to, I don't want to subjugate you. I don't want to establish Sharia law in this country. Of course I believe that Christians and Muslims and everyone else, we're all equal. What's the problem?
You have to believe they're lying for your own self.
He may be telling the truth. He may be telling the truth, or he may be lying, and there's really no way to know the difference between one who's telling the truth and one who's lying, unless you kind of get access to what they're saying behind closed doors.
The people of New York, do you have any advice to give them, the people that are struggling to, doing a hell of a job, I might say, to keep that mosque from being built? People have to understand that mosque could be built anywhere. but deliberately being built as a finger in the eye to the survivors of the 9/11 attacks right at Ground Zero.
Yeah, I don't think there's a question. That's why it's being built, and Muslims around the world will look at that as a symbol of triumph. And so, yeah, there's no question of that. And I actually, even though I think it's horrible and offensive, on the other hand, I'm kind of for it because I think that Muslims are kind of burying themselves on this one. They've been saying their main defense against criticisms of Islam in the West has been, stop it, you're offending us, you're hurting our feelings. After this mosque goes up, despite the fact that millions of Americans are saying this is the most offensive thing imaginable that you can do, if they go through with this and build it anyway, they have lost the right to ever appeal to the you're hurting our feelings defense. And so, I mean, just imagine, suppose this mosque is built, and I'm telling all your listeners right now, I can guarantee, if this mosque is built every Friday afternoon during when they go in for prayers and when they come out for prayers, I'm going to be standing outside that mosque and I'm going to be handing out some interesting literature about Muhammad. I won't be trying to be offensive. I won't be saying anything deliberately insulting. I will just have pamphlets of information directly taken from their sources, but it's information that they do not want people to know. And I'll be standing outside that mosque and I will be handing out these pamphlets, and they will come out there and say, hey, you're telling people that Muhammad had sex with a 9-year-old girl, that he had more wives, he had 9 wives, when he only allowed 4 wives in the Quran. You're telling us that he robbed people, that he allowed his followers to rape their captives. You're telling people all this, and it's hurting our feelings, it's upsetting us. And I'm going to say, why don't you turn around? Because people told you you were hurting their feelings, and you refused to listen, so now you've lost the right to tell me that I'm hurting your feelings.
Our producer, Tim Sumner, would like to ask a question.
David, I appreciate what you do. I will tell you, first off, it will be interesting to see whether the New York City police react the same way as the Dearborn police.
One of the New York police officers, a sergeant in the Bronx, gave me a phone call and left a message. I didn't pick it up, because I didn't know the number. But he left a message on my phone, and he said, "David, I'm a sergeant in the Bronx. I just sat down with a bunch of my fellow officers, and we are shocked. We are shocked that they got away with doing that to you there in Michigan." So, and we've actually, on our blog where we posted the videos, we've gotten several responses from police officers who commented and said, and were pointing out, like actually giving quotations from the law of all of the violations there in Dearborn.
Yeah, and you know, I would say that the NYPD, from my experience with them, on 9/11 and other days where I've seen people handing out various things from all kinds of religions, and police, they're on a public street, and they're not bothering anybody. They don't force it on you, take it or not take it, and they're not bothered, and nor should they be. Seems that's pretty much the practice in New York City now. So, and tell you from the protest that was at on June 6th when I was there, beforehand I actually saw several Muslims in the area, not on directly right there, but trying to hand out information, you know, and they weren't bothered. Some people were taking it, and, you know, some people weren't. I was offered something, and I declined it, and nobody pressed me on it, but I saw police were all over that area.
Yes.
I walked over in front of the Burlington factory, which is currently being used for air, and that's where the plan could have been. I wanted to ask you another specific question, to talk a little bit about your filming down there from in front of the Burlington Coat Factory. As folks go to YouTube and take a look at that, it will see a very interesting thing there. David, you know, what is your sense of that neighborhood, and what's your sense of how folks are looking in the New York City area for that being built?
You find some people that say it's okay, but overwhelmingly, it seems that people are against it. In fact, I talked to a construction worker, and I was talking about the mosque with him, and he said, "You really think that thing will be built?" And I said, "Well, they're planning on building it. They bought the property." And he said, "There's no way it would be built, because the construction workers in New York City are all unionized." And he said, "If anyone tries to build that mosque, if any construction company tries to build that mosque, they'll never work in New York again, because that's the outrage right now."
And the reason being is many of those folks were in on the recovery operations on 9/11 as part of it. know, they actually saw the rubble, 20,000 body parts being removed from Ground Zero, one of which was my brother-in-law. But I hope you're right on that score. And
say just based on past interaction I've had with Muslims, I can guarantee that lots of Muslims would see that as a symbol of triumph. And you can see in my video on the Ground Zero Mosque. So that's really kind of the tie-in. The Muslim that I was talking about in that Ground Zero Mosque video was Nabil Qureshi, who was showing me pictures one day, because we by that time we were best friends, and so we're sitting down, and he's showing me pictures right after 9/11, so a few months after 9/11, and he's showing me sort of photoshopped pictures that Muslims, him and his Muslim buddies, were all sitting around and laughing about. And one of those pictures was of sort of New York, the title was New York Mosque Line. And so someone had photoshopped a bunch of mosques and minarets onto New York City. They were laughing about this picture because the idea was that the September 11th attacks had paved the way. They sort of cleared the ground.
Absolutely. Or capitalizing.
Yeah.
It's almost as if it was bombed so that a mosque could be built there.
Yeah, so they'd have a nice plot of land to put their mosque on. And so this was the Nabil. This was the same Nabil who was arrested in Dearborn, Michigan for preaching the gospel now. So along the way he renounced Islam. And so this guy knows what's on Muslims' mind when they do things. This guy knows what Muslims are thinking. And when he goes and tries to confront any Muslims now, And to say, hey, you've got some bad ideas here, the police actually throw him in jail, and it's crazy.
It's very frightening, but I have great confidence in the Thomas More Center, and I'm so glad they jumped in on this, and that there will be follow-up lawsuits. And I really do think that the door is now open for them. That this is such an atrocity, it's that the door has been swung wide open for them to begin defending what are now the defenseless, the taxpayer of Dearborn and elsewhere, who are being deprived of their civil rights and the protection that they pay for with their tax dollars,
and
our men have died for.
Yeah.
It gives us hope, and I thank you very much for what you've done, you and your friends, and what you continue to do, and I do hope that you will come back and share more information on what and update us on what goes on.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated.
I appreciate that very much, and I hope folks will continuously go to answeringmuslims.com, and there are some terrific posts over there, videos, etc. Thank you so much, David Wood, for being with us, and my thanks to Pam Hall and Pam Geller for providing contact information for us. Appreciate that very much.
All right.
Thank you, sir.